I'm Lisa Stone, and you're listening to Parenting Aces. Welcome to season 11 of the Parenting Aces podcast, part of the Tennis Channel Podcast Network. I'm your host, Lisa Stone, and this week we are speaking with college coach Chance Joost about his experience both playing and coaching at various levels of college tennis. Chance responded to a tweet that I had put out after my recent podcast with Todd Whittam, and he and I started exchanging tweets and then emails, and now I'm thrilled to be able to bring the conversation here to the podcast so you can all hear why families and junior coaches need to start looking beyond Division I in order to grow college tennis and grow tennis in general. Before I bring Chance on, however, I want to just do a quick reminder. If you haven't already, we would love for you to become a premium member of Parenting Aces and have full access to our website, podcasts, social channels, and free consultations with me. So if you go to parentingaces.com, click on the join button in the top right, you will be given explicit directions in how to make this all happen. And we would love to have you be part of our community. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with Coach Chance Joost. Chance, thank you so much for doing the podcast. It is a pleasure to meet you finally, even though it's virtual, but welcome to Parenting Aces.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited to be on here, and I'm excited for the opportunity to talk. And anytime talking more tennis is always something that I love to do.
Well, me too, obviously. So let's jump right in. Since this is your first time being on the podcast, I would love for you to give our viewers slash listeners a little bit of your tennis story. How did you get started in the sport? And what was your progression through the sport to your present day job as a college coach?
Yeah, absolutely. So my grandpa and his brother played a little bit of professional tennis back in the 40s.
Wow.
So before they decided to join the armed forces, which kind of just led this family snowball of tennis players. My dad played a little bit, didn't get quite as involved, but once he had my brother and I, we both started playing tennis at 2 years old. So my brother's 5 years older than me. He played at the University of Arkansas. Before transferring to Washburn University. He's now a tennis pro in Kansas City. And then myself, you know, I started playing tennis at 2 years old. We joined Mike Wolf Tennis Academy in Kansas City right off the bat when I was, I think my brother was seven. So I was right out the gates. But I joined the academy at 7 years old, started training. You know, during the summers, it was 8 hours a day, 6 days a week.
And let me just interrupt you 1 second. For those who don't know, Mike Wolf is also the guy who Jack Sock played with, grew up playing for and with.
Jack Sock was my hitting partner, actually, at Mike Wolf Tennis Academy. Jack Sock and I go way, way back. We actually used to stay at some of the same houses because he's originally from Lincoln. And me originally being from Topeka, Kansas, you know, both of us had a drive to get to Kansas City. So we'd often stay with people. But yeah, I trained there until I was 12 years old. And then we left the academy there. And then we moved on to, I trained in Lawrence, Kansas with Stuart Waters, who was a famous player at Iowa. He's out of tennis now, but a great coach, great guy. And we found Coach Heath Turpin, who's now down in Florida. He's coaching Braden Schnurr and a lot of those guys. He's sent numerous guys to Division I. Heath changed my career. You know, gave me a forehand that was unbelievable, but gave me a passion for tennis as well that was unrivaled, and just the energy and intensity that I needed. So trained with Heath, eventually got to be a top 50 player in the country when I was 14, 15, started getting a few interests from Division I schools, Oregon, Florida State, Arkansas, things like that. Didn't hurt that my brother was already at Arkansas. So, but then had a wrist surgery as a sophomore in high school. Had gotten a fight as well. Got jumped in high school, which put me out for another 6 months. And then I had a torn rotator cuff, which was just one thing after another. My grandpa financed most of my tennis, or he didn't, I wouldn't say most of it, but he certainly helped out. And he was living in Topeka. So I had some offers from D1 schools, but I chose to go to Division II at my hometown, Washburn University, and in hopes that he would be able to see me play. All this money and hard work that he had put out, I was hoping that maybe I could return the favor by allowing him to watch me. And that unfortunately did not happen, but played at Washburn, got kicked off the team as a freshman for not going to class.
Uh-oh.
And then got my act together, kind of found myself, second semester, my freshman year, got back on the team, got my scholarship back. And then finished off top 15 in wins at Washburn when I finished my career.
And you played all 4 years there, minus the semester that.
Yep.
Minus, you were a bad guy and didn't get to play.
Minus the whoopsie daisy. I played all 4 years there. Loved it. Wouldn't trade that time for anything. I love Washburn University. It's still to this day. I mean, we play them all the time now, but I'm always like, oh, Washburn, like, you guys weren't playing us, go Bods. Like, I'm always looking at their schedule, always keeping up with them. Really good friends with the coach now. So then I was a grad assistant there after my playing days for 2 years. Went on to be the head coach at Heston College at 23, which was a small private school, 2-year private school. Great people there. Left to be the director of tennis at KCRC in Kansas City, Kansas City Rec Club, before it was bought out by Genesis Health Clubs. Worked there for a year and a half, and then saw the job opening for William Woods and thought that was too good of an opportunity to pass up. Two perennial top 15 NAIA programs. And I was fortunate enough to get that job, and here I am.
So I have to be honest, I had never heard of William Woods until you and I started communicating on Twitter and I looked up the school. I am very familiar with NAIA, having lived in Atlanta for many, many years. Yeah. Georgia Gwinnett College, perennial national champions. They're terrible. I know. But I did befriend Chase Hodges, who recently left to take a job with Universal Tennis, interestingly enough. But I've tried to educate myself around the different divisions of college tennis, Division I, Division II, Division III, NAIA, junior colleges, and really to help educate the parents and the junior coaches out there about these different divisions and the opportunities that they afford to these young players. We have a real problem in this country of people thinking that if they don't go to a top 25 Division I college, that they have failed as tennis parents, tennis coaches, and tennis players. I am here to tell a different story, and that's why you're here this week, is to tell a different story. Let's talk about, first of all, your decision to play at a Division II school yourself as a player. Did you ever regret passing up the opportunity to play Division I?
Oh, honestly, when I signed, I was pretty disappointed. I had a great scholarship at Washburn. But to be honest, I was like, man, am I making the right choice here? Like, I've got some of these Division I schools that are looking at me. I really haven't even given them a fair shot. I didn't even take a visit anywhere else. Hmm.
Why not? Other than, as you said, you wanted to be close for your grandfather.
That was really it. I mean, my grandpa was like my father figure, even though my dad's in my life, you know, and I love my dad, but my grandpa was my everything. So just to be close to him. And then, you know, that's my mom's dad. My mom and I are very, very close. So him getting sick, and that was, and his wife had already died. My grandma had already died. So that was really it. Mm-hmm. My brother had just graduated from there. So I knew the coach. I had already hit with the coach a couple of times. I knew he was a cool guy. He's actually coming to my wedding this Saturday, which is always a cool thing when your college coach is still in your life.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, honestly, that was the main reason. I knew it was a high level Division II program, mm-hmm. which when I had looked at competitiveness, I was like, man, like the Division I schools that are interested in me aren't even as good as the school in Division II. Like, we would destroy some of these teams.
Tennis wise. And let's talk about the academic side too, because this is,
yeah,
you know, this is where I think a lot of American families get hung up, and a lot of junior coaches, the junior coaches are focused more on the tennis, right? Which schools are winning championships. The parents, in my opinion, and from what I've seen and heard through conversations, seem to be more hung up on the reputation of the school, both academically and athletically. And so are, you know, funneling their children to only look at these top tier Division I schools. Oh, Chance, I'm going to pause a second. So we had a little technical glitch there. Sorry about that. But we were talking about the fact that American families seem to be caught up in the reputation academically and athletically of the schools, and therefore only funnel their children to look at schools that fit their definition of a good college. And I wanted to just ask you about your experience academically in college, and did you feel like you were getting as good, if not better, an education than your peers playing at Division I schools?
Yeah, I think for me at Washburn, I studied kinesiology. I went in, didn't really know what I wanted to do. But the fact was that I was getting much more personal attention. Mm-hmm. I had class sizes of 20 kids, which was phenomenal for me, for somebody who wasn't really big into school in the first place. I mean, school was important to me, but tennis was everything. And that really changed at Washburn. Like, my teachers, my professors, I had a professor who worked on one of the original, or his mentor worked on one of the original VO2 maxes at Harvard and USC, and like, he studied at Harvard, and he was like kind of retiring almost, but still loved teaching. So he was at Washburn for that reason. And wow, like, I loved the guy. Like, he walked in just with a zest for teaching, and like, every single one of my teachers loved teaching. Hmm. They loved kinesiology, and they loved Washburn. And like, I remember my sophomore year, like, walking on campus, and my psychology teacher knew I was on the tennis team and walked by, and like, my legal first name's Ryan, but I go by Chance. And like, I never told teachers that because I just thought it was a hassle. But this guy walked down campus and said, "Hey, Chance, how's it going?" And I was like, "How do you even know my name? Like, my actual name?" Like, Ed, he was like, "Hey, you know, saw like you did great last weekend at the tournament. Like, that's awesome. was like, dude, I had you for one class in a semester a couple semesters ago, and how do you still know me? Like, on a school, I mean, Washburn's 9,000 people. So, I mean, it's not tiny.
Yeah.
And these teachers just invested so much into the students. And I felt like I got such a better education because they were so focused on me. Mm-hmm. And individually, students who cared.
And it sounds like they were able to spark that love of learning in you that lain dormant, you know, up till that point. So I think, you know, that happens with a lot of tennis kids. I mean, we all talk about how tennis kids are, you know, they're such hard workers, they're devoted, they're passionate, and that carries over into other areas. But the reality is a lot of these kids are, you know, academically, they don't have time to devote to school like a non-athlete would have. And sometimes it's very difficult to find that love of learning. Now, that's not to say that's across the board and not even the majority, but there are a lot of kids. My son was the same as you. You know, the school was just a hassle to get through. So I love your story about, you know, finding those professors at the collegiate level that really, you know, got you interested and got you to love the pursuit of knowledge and not just focusing on tennis all the time. So I think that's an amazing testimonial for being on a smaller campus, being, you know, in an environment where the faculty has the time and the ability to get to know the students on an individual level. I want to kind of transition from that to talking about your work at William Woods and being in an NAIA school. And can you talk a little bit about the overlap between William Woods and your experience in Division II?
Yeah, I mean, I think William Woods is even smaller. You know, we've got 1,000 undergraduate students.
It is a four-year university, though, correct?
Four-year university. We've got graduate school. We've got a great MBA in 5 program, so kids can get their master's in 5 years. You start working on it your senior year. So that's really cool. We just announced that we're adding doctorate studies. But yeah, I mean, William Woods, the people are what make William Woods different. I mean, that's everybody just really cares. And I think that's something that's really common with a lot of these smaller schools is that people are there because they want to be there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the smaller schools, you have choices of going elsewhere, but you're there because you care about the students and you have more hands-on, more time to invest with the student. And that's kind of what I've experienced at William Woods. It's just people really, really care. We find ways to get things done. That's going to maximize the student's potential, whether that's on the court or off the court. We have professors that go through great lengths just to get kids hands-on experience, whether it's, you know, the marketing kids working with the sports teams to market our games and our matches, or, you know, I have kids intern for me all the time that have nothing to do with the tennis program. They just come in and, hey, you know, can I make a recruiting brochure, or, you know, what about a game day thing, like free pizza or something like that? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Like, let's, you know, I love these ideas. Those are some of the same ideas I have. Let's get it going. I just need some more hands to do it.
Oh, you are so speaking my language right now, because this has been what a topic I have talked about for years, is this overlap in university settings between the different departments and the tennis team, because we know tennis isn't the best funded sport on college campuses. And so you've got to be able to take advantage of free resources available to you. You've got a whole student body there itching for projects and internships.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I'll honestly say that it has been our professors that have led that charge.
I love hearing that.
And the coolest part is that, you know, like, we have a lot of young coaches. So, I mean, a lot of us are just, we're into being united and working together with academics. And that's usually an issue in some schools, but here we really work together. And I will say at William Woods is probably a little different than most schools. The tennis program has traditionally been very, very successful. And so it's probably funded as one of the better sports on campus for now, I should say. Hopefully that stays that way. Always need funding though. We can always use some fundraisers. It's been taken care of really well. And the past coaches have done a great job with it. And I think we get a lot of love as a tennis program here at William Woods, and that's something that's different. Baseball team comes out, softball team comes out, soccer team comes out. You know, we have the lead program here at William Woods, which is really interesting that kids get points for showing up to certain activities. So, and you get a $5,000 scholarship for showing up to those things. So
really?
Yeah. So it's really, really cool. You know, we've got this great program that encourages kids to be active on campus. Whether that's going to,
oh my gosh, I love that.
Yeah, it's great. It's very unique. You know, you go to a theater program or a basketball game or a speaker shows up, or we have stuff virtually. You get lead points, and you have to get 40 some odd lead points a semester. You know, depending on the thing, you know, I think a basketball game might be like 3 points. So, you know, you do a couple of those things, you can get your points really, really quick. And then it's
plus,
just
what an amazing
includes
way
to everybody.
It's an amazing way for the students to network and to build these networks prior to graduating that hopefully are going to open doors for them. I mean, my goodness.
I think our college community here at William Woods is very unique. I mean, we're so connected. I think the tennis seems really, really close. Obviously, we have 15 different countries represented on our team, so we're a home away from home for everyone. But tennis team loves the soccer team, as always, you know, but loves the baseball team and, you know, goes and watches softball and, you know, women's soccer. And I mean, we're just basketball, we're all over the place. And I see that from the other sports as well. And it's exciting to have home matches, and it's exciting to go to home games and things like that. So it's very unique and very special here at William Woods. And I think it's just something that we want this idea of this big Division I college, a top 25 program. And I think American parents just don't realize you're competing against the whole world. Whereas your buddy's son who's playing football is only competing against other American kids.
That's right.
And so you're trying to get your kid into one of these top 25 worldwide program. And that's just rare. Like it's rare. You're basically asking your kid to go to the NFL by the time he's 18.
Right.
And it's just, the statistics, it's incredible. Yeah. So, you know, I think for me, choosing Washburn, one of the aspects of it was, am I going to play?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew 100% I would be in the lineup for 4 years. And William Woods, you know, our Power 6 UTR is a 66. And I think that's a little underrated. I think Midwest UTR is a little lower than other places. But, kids know they're going to come here. They're going to play. They're probably going to win a conference championship or two while they're here for 4 years, which is always a blast.
Yeah.
You're going to go to nationals every single year. We're going to go to Georgia. And we're going to play Georgia Gwinnett. We're going to play Middle Georgia State. We're going to play the top Division II teams around here, Northwest Missouri State, Drury, Southwest Baptist, Washburn. You're going to get this great opportunity to play great tennis. And, you know, some of our kids are 11 and a half, 12s that you never know. They could pop off and go pro one day. You know, you mm-hmm. just don't know when you get a kid in who's an 11.5 UTR. Who knows what he's going to do in 4 years.
Right.
But
Well, yeah. you talked about the fact that you have 15 different countries represented on you coach both the men and the women.
Correct.
And so in our recent podcast with Todd Whittem, you know, we talked about the fact that the majority of tennis players in Division I, men and women, are international. They are not from the US. And it's a problem for American families that Absolutely. Have invested hundreds of thousands of dollars. And let's not kid ourselves. That is a realistic number. If your child starts playing tennis, let's say they start playing at 8 or 9, which we know many of them start earlier than that, but then they're playing junior tennis for 10 years. I mean, several hundred thousand dollars is a real number. And
probably on training alone.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, not counting tournaments and hotels and food and all that jazz.
Right. And the mental coach and the physical yep. therapist and the everything else that has become part of junior tennis now.
Right.
So why wouldn't you widen the funnel as a parent and encourage your child to look everywhere that they can look to find opportunities to pay for their education in college and continue to play the sport that they are passionate about? Why wouldn't you do that? It's yeah. mind-boggling. And listen, I get it, because I was one of those parents when my kid was going through recruiting. All we knew was Division I. That's all anyone had ever talked to us about, and that's all we knew. But I'm here to talk about a lot more than Division I and to hopefully get the junior coaches thinking about more than Division I and for sure getting the parents and the players to think about more than Division I. So along those lines, Chance, talk to me about what recruiting looks like at NAIA and what opportunities scholarship-wise are available to tennis players at NAIA schools.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, recruiting wise, the part of our problem as Americans as well is that we're so high maintenance when it comes to recruiting. Like, I was one of those kids too. I was Division I or bust and ended up going Division II and loved it. But man, like, some parents, you get on the phone with them, and they're like, well, yeah, I never heard of William Woods. So, are you going to offer my son a full ride? I'm like, second sentence out of the block. Holy cow. Like,
yeah.
Give me a shot at least to sell you. And so that's been difficult with American parents, is just like, oh, NAIA, we're really not interested. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm sorry, do you know anything about NAIA? Have you heard of Georgia Gwinnett? I mean, 168 matches in a row? Well, it's insane. So
what do you want us to know about NAIA?
NAIA is, you know, we have less restrictions than the NCAA.
So let me just clarify, NAIA does not fall under NCAA regulations.
No,
they are their own division
entity,
yeah. Yes, separate from the NCAA. So any NCAA rules, those are NCAA Division I, II, and III. NAIA Correct. Has its own set of rules and regs. Okay,
right.
Go ahead.
And to be honest, most of the NAIA, we follow a lot of the NCAA rules. We piggyback a lot. Mm-hmm. But we don't have the hours rule. So, you know, my kids can go play as much as they want. You have to have one day off. That's it. My kids most of the time don't even take a day off. But, you know, that's on their own. But, you know, for me, it's okay, we're going to practice 5 days a week, 2 hours a day. You're going to have a private lesson at least once a week with either me or I have two assistants. Then you're going to have an hour of strength conditioning with a strength coach who was courted by the LA Rams. So, you know, like, great opportunities here at NAIA. I mean, and we stack scholarships academically, athletically. You know, academics, you can get a really nice scholarship, almost probably 60%, of your tuition covered academically. And then you get athletic on top of that, plus the LEAD scholarship, which is that $5,000 scholarship the kids work towards. Mm-hmm. You do stay on campus all 4 years. Most kids do, because that's how you get the $5,000. But it's a great small community that you love. And recruiting for the NAIA is just, you know, do you want to be cared for? Do you want that personal attention? Do you want to work hard? Do you love tennis? You know, and internationally, that's a lot easier to get with kids who are just like, my whole dream's to play in the United States. I don't care if it's for them, it's NAIA or, you know, NCAA. And it's like, awesome. You know, let's have some phone calls, some video calls, one or two. And then usually they make their decision. And it's easy for us college coaches. Whereas an American kid, it's courting them for 6 months, and then the parent just be like, end of the day, you're not Division I, so see ya. And yeah. It's like, come on, man. I mean, you know, I've recruited kids in the last 2 years who would not have been in my top six. There would have been like my seventh or eighth player on both either men or women. And they ended up going to Division I schools where they were going to be number 11 or 12 on the roster, and they got no money. And I was offering them almost a full tuition scholarship, if not offering them a full tuition scholarship. So they're probably paying less for me. And the only reason they went to the other school was because it was Division I. And that was the reasoning they gave me. And then that school goes 4-14, mm-hmm. which sounds just horrible to be a part of. I mean, for me, it was, I want to win. Right. Like, you grow up in junior tennis winning, and you just want to win. So I want to be a part of a team that wins. And if you're the seventh or eighth kid on the team, you're probably playing a lot of matches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether that's doubles or singles, I mean, shoot, the way schools are going now, I mean, we play 35 matches in a year.
Wow.
A lot of doubleheaders. I need kids that can play. And, you know, my number one guy's probably going to get hurt at some point. My number three guy's probably going to say, hey, coach, I need today. Like, I know this team's a team that we can take a break on. Let's get some other guys some playing time. And that's great. But, yeah. You know, for American parents, I think just opening up our eyes and knowing that you spent all this money, let's see our kids play.
Right.
Instead of riding the bench.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'd love for you to debunk the statement that the reason there's so many international kids in college tennis is because college coaches can't be bothered with Americans.
I think that's tricky. I mean,
kids aren't as good. They aren't as talented. Well,
I mean, that's not true at all. I mean, that's American kids are just as talented. It's just usually they have so many more options. And kids from America, just we grow up with loyalties. I mean, I grew up 20 minutes from KU. If KU would have had a men's tennis team, I would have gone there in a heartbeat, regardless of anything. Mm-hmm. Which is part of the issue. But it's not that we can't be bothered. It's more usually that the American parents act like they can't be bothered with us. And, you know, we send out emails and we get no response from American parents, whereas we send out an email to an international kid and we get a response within 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, and the kids are excited to talk to us, whereas we talk to an American kid and a lot of times it's like we're bothering them. And
it's an insult almost, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not that we all want American kids. I mean, you talk to any coach, any college tennis coach who is an American, which most of us are, we want American kids playing because we want to help American tennis. It's not that we don't want international kids, because we I think educationally for our American kids, it's very good.
Yeah. Agreed.
But at the same time, like, I can't get an American kid interested, mm-hmm. you know, like,
But you do have some Americans on your rosters.
I do. I have 3 Americans on my men's team, and I have 2 on my women's team. But you know, we're in the middle of Missouri. We've got Kansas City 2 hours west of us, and we've got St. Louis 1.5 hours east, and 2 massive cities, 2 massive tennis hubs in the Midwest,
and college towns,
and you know, yeah. Each city is 3 million people. You know, Tulsa is not far away, and that's where I've gotten one of my American kids from, Trent Tucker, but trained there for a little bit as well. But you know, it's frustrating because mm-hmm. you want these American kids, and you know, you want to help American kids. You want to get the good ones. Like, you know, you don't want just the kids who. It's not that you don't want them, but I mean, you don't just want the kids who are like, I want a small education, you know, small school education that's focused on me, that really cares about me. And, you know, tennis is kind of on the side. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, great. I want the kid where tennis is everything, and they also want a good education.
Yes.
And I want those kids that have been in academies their whole life. And
well, and one of the things that I hear from parents is, you know, you've got to go to a school with a great reputation so that the kid has employment opportunities after college, you know, so that the name of the school opens doors. But from what you're telling me about that LEAD program that you guys have on campus, you're doing everything to provide those door opening opportunities for your students.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think the whole name recognition thing would have been a great thing to say 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that kids just aren't getting as many jobs outside of college, right out of college, as they used to. So it doesn't matter what school you went to. You know, nobody goes, Chance went to Washburn University. Oh, we're not hiring him because he went to Washburn instead of Kansas. Like, mm-hmm. no, I mean, it's. A lot of times the smaller schools are getting better looks right now from employers because they know they're getting individualized attention, and the kids are time management skills are probably more refined because they've had to be. Mm-hmm. The bigger schools, kid can just get lost and coast through. Whereas our school, you're not coasting through. I mean, my women's GPA team GPA is a 3.9 and my men's team GPA is a 3.6. Kids are not coasting through. If a kid has below a 3.0, they are in study hall. And, you know, the professor is emailing me, you know, or I'm just going on talking to them and saying, hey, how's my kids doing? And, you know, it's not that we're bugging each other, but we're watching the kids. We're taking care of the kids. We're trying to provide the best opportunities we can. And then you got St. Louis Cardinals and, you know, Kansas City Chiefs and Kansas Speedway. You got all these things all right here. You've got the Ozarks, you know, Springfield. We have so many opportunities for employment around here. It's crazy. I haven't had a single kid not get a job outside of college from William Woods.
Yeah. And that's an important thing to note. And gosh, Chance, I feel like we need to just have like a 5-hour conversation here, but in the interest of time and making this something that people are going to listen to start to finish, I want to just give you the opportunity to kind of reiterate some of the important aspects for parents and junior coaches to understand about looking beyond Division One when it comes time for recruiting for their junior players. And I also want to touch on, and I meant to ask you this earlier, but we've just gotten so in depth in some other topics. You know, junior coaches use college placement as marketing tools, right? They like to be able to say, you know, I placed, you know, 10 kids at top 25 schools in the last 5 years or whatever. The question that parents need to be asking is, what about the rest of the kids that come to you for coaching? Where are they? What's happening to them after junior tennis? And
how many of your kids are playing in college tennis, not just sitting on the bench? How many of your kids are enjoying their college tennis experience because they spend all this time playing? You know, I think my brother played at the University of Arkansas, redshirted his freshman year. He got hurt sophomore year. I think he played in 8 matches. Mm-hmm. Redshirt sophomore year. So his third year, I think he played in 10 matches. And he just transferred. She's like, man, I put so much work into this. I want to play.
Yeah.
I want to play every day. And he got offers from Middle Tennessee and North Carolina and Oklahoma. And he was like, he had some friends that were at Washburn. And he was like, I know for a fact I'm playing one there. And yeah, I know we're going to win. He won a conference championship there. He was top 30 in the country in Division II. And he feels like a rock star now. I mean, he tells everybody walks around, I was top 30. Yeah. And I'm just like, yeah, my brother was great. He's, you know, played 2 years at Washburn and is already in the top 20 in wins. Like, mm-hmm, it's insane. So yeah, I think for parents, it's asking how many of your kids are playing and actually reaping the benefits of all this hard work, to where they actually get to see themselves play in this competitive atmosphere instead of just be a cheerleader, mm-hmm, a glorified cheerleader, and get all the gear. You know, my kids get tons of gear. We get probably just as much gear as a lot of mid-major D1 programs. But yeah, what was the first thing you wanted me to address?
All right, you're asking the old lady to remember the question? No, it doesn't work that way. Sorry.
We
were talking about the coaches using their college placements as marketing tools. And
Yeah, I think that's a problem for sure.
Yeah. And I want the college coaches, the junior coaches, to hear what you're saying, Chance, about the type of experience these kids have when they choose an NAIA school or they choose a Division II school. We're not even talking about Division III today. That's a whole other level of opportunity for these kids. But we have got to do a better job educating the tennis community as a whole about all the opportunities that are available in the college tennis world, not just top 25 Division I schools.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I think it boils down also to this idea of helping kids kind of mental health wise as well. Like, these smaller schools, we have way more. Yeah, a big Division I is going to have a psychologist. But here, I mean, I'm constantly talking to my kids about everything, and their teachers are, and, we have counselors on campus and everything like that. But also at the same time, my first year at William Woods, I had to recruit an entirely new men's team. I recruited 6 guys. 4 of those 6 guys, when they leave William Woods, will be in the top 10 in wins.
Wow.
And will have top 10 winning percentages. They'll have All-American statuses. They'll have All-Conference statuses and ITA scholar athletes and you name it, all these accolades, and they're going to have trophies from the William Woods Awards and all these things. And that's so benefiting to the student and confidence that they can go achieve things instead of going and riding the bench for 4 years.
Not only that, the resume value is enormous.
Exactly. And that's, I was team MVP 1 year at Washburn, and I got this cool little trophy. That thing sits on my desk, and my kids love coming in and giving me a little bit of tease about it. But they're also like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. I'd love to have that.
Yeah.
I think educating junior coaches, like, don't you want to say, okay, yeah, I sent a kid to XYZ University that's a mid-major Division I or a top 25 Division I. The kid hasn't played in 4 years, or he plays you know, plays when they play in any high school. Mm-hmm. And then, or say, I sent my kid to William Woods University and they've played 125 matches. They've won 70% of the matches. They're an NAIA All-American.
Yeah.
And they're the school's top, the winningest player in history, school history. I mean, what kind of branding is that?
Right.
Like, is that not as equal as a top 25? Like,
equal. It's better, in my opinion, you know, to say that they've played all 4 years, have records that they've won versus, yeah, they signed with the school, but they never saw the court, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the kind of disconnect. Parents hear, you know, yes, X number of my kids have gone to top 25 D1 schools. But parents, you then have to ask the follow-up question. Did they play at that school? How many years did they stay there? Did they transfer because they weren't getting the education and athletic experience that they were promised?
Or parents, the attention from the coach.
Exactly. You know? You have to ask the follow-up questions. So we need to step aside. We parents need to step aside of our ego, separate ourselves from our ego of being able to say, oh, my kid got recruited by blah, blah, blah school. And refocus on what's really important, which is what type of experience is my child going to have once they step foot on that campus?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Well, Chance, if parents want to learn more about William Woods University or want to reach out to you to get more information, what's the best way to contact you? And we'll have all of this in the show notes on parentingaces.com.
Yeah, my email, which is chance.joost@williamwoods.edu. You can also find it on www.owls.com on our athletic website.
Okay.
You know, you can reach out to me and get more information. Always willing to talk. And I think for me, every single parent I talk to, I tell them I'm here to be a resource as much as recruit your child. So if we're not the school for you, that doesn't mean our contact has to stop.
I love that.
You guys can ask me about other coaches, other programs. I'm going to be blunt and honest. I'm going to tell you whether they're great or not. And I'll tell you where we sit honestly as well. I mean, if that's what you want. But yeah, I'm here to be a resource and help other people out. And I want to help American kids get to the schools where they feel valued and where they're going to be successful.
I love it. Chance, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to chat with us. And I suspect we're going to have some follow-up podcast conversations in the near future. So check your emails and your DMs.
I'm constantly checking my email. So
perfect.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for the time. And I've had fun and can't wait to do it again.
Awesome. To my listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We will catch you next time on Parenting Aces. I'm Lisa Stone, and you've been listening to the Parenting Aces podcast for tennis parents by a tennis parent. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to us and write a review on iTunes. For more information on navigating the junior and college tennis journey, please visit us online at parentingaces.com. Thanks for tuning in and sharing us with your tennis community.